We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. We now have the late night A-team, Horowitz and Kilkelly, producing the show back at CBS Sports Radio in New York City. And I was doing some back and forth conversation with Horowitz before we came on for this hour, and he told me he was at a reception last night with his girlfriend for a cousin, and he went out on the boat and got seasick in the Atlantic earlier today. And then I'm telling him a story about the bad weather I drove through. I was over in Detroit for my son's soccer game, and I was surprised there wasn't a tornado for about 50 miles in the weather I was driving in, and my kids got quiet, which they normally, weather never bothers them, snow or rain or thunder, lightning, and it was bad, and luckily nothing happened. But I could tell that Horowitz wasn't even interested in my conversation. I think this guy's going on an hour's sleep. And then we start to talk about the Giants and what Saquon Barkley said, and he's a huge Giants fan. Horowitz is longtime producer in my 4+ years doing this show, and he's back at CBS Sports Radio in New York City. And I said, hey, did you hear Saquon's comment that that rookie out of Duke that's still taking a lot of heat in NYC, that Saquon says he's going to win a couple of Super Bowls? And then I'm thinking, okay, that's interesting. And then Horowitz brought up a great point. What happens when Eli's struggling and the New York media, which are vultures, they go after Saquon? Hey, you said Daniel is going to win a couple of Super Bowls. Shouldn't he be the QB now? Well, let's say the Giants are 1-5. I actually think the Giants are going to be better than most people think. I really do, but that's just me. Horowitz is there in NYC, so, you know, Saquon, he's stepping up and being a leader, and he's saying, shoot the arrows at me and taking them off of Eli and Jones, and that's what big-time players do. It's kind of like we were talking about in the NBA, people who can carry a team. The question is, can a running back in today's football carry a team to greatness? No. It's your quarterback and it's your defense. Bottom line, when you look at it, it really is. Nothing against Belichick or anybody else, but they're not doing it if they don't have Brady. And Eli is a Hall of Famer, guaranteed. Will Jones be successful? I don't think he's playing for – he's not playing. When's Eli done? After this year, you think?
Yeah, I don't see a way that Eli comes back. If they win, you know, hypothetically, which is not going to happen, they go off and win a Super Bowl, that's Eli's swan song. But even if he plays well and that doesn't happen, which is obviously much more likely, they have an out this year with Eli's contract, and then what do? You're not going to want to commit to Eli for 2 years. Eli's not going to want a one-year deal. And truthfully, the Giants would hold the cards because I would say to Eli, if I'm Dave Gettleman, where are you going? You know, the quarterback market, there was a slim market for possibly for his services going into the draft this year. That's all but closed up. So what team is going to take a flyer on an almost 40-year-old Eli Manning on a one-year or two-year deal? I don't see it. So this, I'm wholly convinced this is Eli's, you know, last year with the Giants.
Well, the Broncos are taking every quarterback on God's green earth. Maybe he'll follow Payton's footsteps out in Denver. I'll say this. The NFC East, I'm not sold on Dak Prescott. If I'm the Cowboys, I'm really concerned about giving him a Russell Wilson-like mega deal. Has he earned that? How many big games has Dak Prescott won? Russell Wilson earned that contract. That's a thank you contract for what Russell Wilson has done for the Seahawks organization. He's still going to earn it. What has Dak Prescott done in the NFC East? And the Eagles, you know, you get that Super Bowl. You look at the Red Sox this year in baseball. These guys aren't as hungry. You start to get guys who need to get paid. You have attrition with coaches who get better jobs in front office because you have a Super Bowl ring. I'm the Redskins, okay? You're with Haskins. Are you 2-3 years away from, you know, being a contender to win the NFC East? Who's your challenger? Cowboys? You look at the NFC East, I think the Giants can go 9-7, may win you that division. And I think they easily can get there. And that's minus Odell Beckham Jr. I just had Dak Prescott, this talk that he deserves Russell Wilson money. And then people, I remember when the Lions paid Matt Stafford, and I went back and forth. This was a couple years ago, I think, right? And I went back and forth with the audience in my statewide broadcast here in Michigan in the afternoons. And I said, well, he hasn't earned it. Well, that's market value. That's what we hear. We hear this market value all the time. Well, that's, you know, Bryce Harper's market value. I think Trout and Harper both have earned their contracts, right? But you get, because one quarterback got paid that the other quarterback has to be in that ballpark just because. It's like Kirk Cousins. Great man. But he didn't win big games with the Redskins, and that's why they kept using the franchise tag. And, you know, they dropped, what, $90 million guaranteed in Minnesota on him. You know, that team, the salary cap window clock is ticking. You get a window to do something. You know, think about the Lions. At one point, they had Matt Stafford and Ndamukong Suh and Calvin Johnson. All on the same team. And they could not win a playoff game. And now the Lions are trying to get back in good graces with Calvin Johnson. He's like, well, pay me back the money you made me return. You know, only the Lions could run off Barry Sanders and Calvin Johnson, two of the greatest athletic specimens at their positions. And between those two, they won one playoff game. One. You know, this piling on Eli, he's a Hall of Famer. He will be enshrined in Canton. You know, and for people to say that, well, no Odell Beckham Jr. and the Giants are going to be dog meat. Again, I go back to this conversation we had about NBA players that can put a team on their back. It's not going to be with Odell Beckham Jr. He'll be great. Baker Mayfield's the type of guy I think you can load up and go get some trophies and hardware. You know, give Eli credit. But they were at their best. And Horowitz, you will back me on this, when they had that unbelievable defensive line and they were solid up front. That's when they were at their best.
Bingo.
They were. You can look at any look at Brady. Compared to other NFL teams, how often do you see Brady running for his life? Where you're like, ooh. Ah, you're watching a game like, man, I'm glad my quarterback's alive. Let me check my FanDuel update. No, he gets rid of it so fast, but, you know, his offensive line, I know he gives him love. And the defense got better this year. But it's Brady. It's Eli. And, you know, the Jones pick, it's like, what will Haskins do in D.C.? Everyone's saying, well, it's going to be a quick learning curve. All right. A writer who watched him in an OTA, it's going to be a quick learning curve. The Dak Prescott thing, man, if you're going to pony up, if you're going to pony up that type of money, you fall, and again, asking a Giants fan about the Cowboys, this should be funny. Horowitz, should you break the bank if you're Jerry Jones for Dak Prescott?
I don't think so, to be honest. Dak reminds me, he's a more athletic, a more bigger built Alex Smith to me.
Yeah, and
he's not going to go out and win you games on his own.
Exactly. And that's where I look at Dak Prescott and I say, he's thrown for 10,000 yards in his career, and you're thinking about unloading a Russell Wilson-like contract. Now, again, is that agents just talking and saying he deserves it? And I know he's made dirt cheap money $450,000, $540,000, and $630,000 in each of the last 3 years. And he made the Pro Bowl twice. And Stephen Jones, you know, they want to pay him, but I'm telling you, man, I think Eli Manning has taken a lot of grief, and he is one of the great quarterbacks ever. Now, speaking of Cowboys Giants, and I'm going to get into this, Horowitz, at the pro level, not college, because there's a million rivalries, you know, Utah, BYU, Michigan, Ohio State, Duke, North Carolina. At the pro level, all sports across the board, what are the great rivalries left? I think Rockets, Golden State has been pretty feisty. Bears, Packers is still good, and it's better now with the Bears playing good football. Beyond Golden State and Houston, give me an NBA rivalry that's worth a darn.
I don't think there's an NBA rivalry, and I would argue against Golden State and Houston, because how is it a rivalry when it's so one-sided?
Well, it's playoffs. It has a feel. It's kind of like watching Golden State, Houston. Nothing that I've watched with Golden State playing in the postseason this year, including game one of the NBA Finals, has the same feel that Golden State, Houston did when you got the star power of Harden versus the big three. Right?
No, it feels fun, but I think part of that is that we just think Houston's the only one that can take down Golden State, and that's what intrigues us. I mean, the fact of the matter is the Warriors have just been wiping the floor with these guys. Yeah, they've taken them, you know, 6-7 games a couple of years, but they've never beaten them. So how is that a rivalry? I would say the NBA right now, there are no rivalries. Historically, right? There was, but right now, I can't name one that has any juice to it like a Packers and Bears or a Giants and Cowboys, a Yankees, Red Sox type of thing. No matchup in the NBA has that feeling.
Yeah, and I was going across the board in sports, and I said off of Yankees, Red Sox playing this weekend, and I agree with Giants, Cowboys. There's still a lot of hatred. You can feel it when you're watching it, whether the game is in Dallas or in Jersey. And NHL... tell me, top of your head, the first rivalry that comes to mind.
Well, I'm biased. To me, it's the Devils and the Rangers, but right. I understand that's where I live.
That's a metropolitan thing.
Right.
I don't think it's a – hey, see, because I can sit down and watch a rivalry game. Like, I'll watch Duke, North Carolina the two times they play home and away every year, and I'm not a Duke or North Carolina public fan, right?
Right.
I mean, I talk about them. I'll watch BYU, Utah, and that. I'll watch UCLA, USC. I watch all the rivalries, but at the pro level, I'm trying to think national rivalries that get people excited. NBA, NHL, NFL. I'm talking not just the fan bases. You would get the outside fans who would watch it. I think the Steelers and Browns with the up-and-coming, because we'll get these up-and-coming rivalries. It's like Cleveland Cavs and Michael. It's the old-school bad boys when Michael was just coming on. We'll get these changing-of-the-guard rivalries that are pretty cool to watch because you can kind of feel it changing. So I don't know right now in pro sports. You know, in golf, you were starting to think, you know, Spieth, Fowler, Thomas, Tiger, even though he's only 4 under right now at the Memorial, you know, Koepka could be something, but Tiger's on the backside. I need somebody to tell me in U.S. and Canada the good rivalries in pro sports today. You can join in 1-855-212-4CBS. That's 1-855-212-4227. At Saturday Huge on Twitter. And Saturday Night Huge Show on Facebook.
Huge is America's voice on sports. This is the Saturday Night Huge Show on CBS Sports Radio.
We are back live across North America. We're the only show based on huge opinions, yours and mine. Horowitz and Kilkelly are back at CBS Sports Radio in New York City. By the way, our toll-free line, 1-855-212-4227, is brought to you by GEICO. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. And in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance at geico.com. Oh, we're getting a ton of feedback on great sports rivalries in America and Canada at the pro level. I get all the college rivalries, college basketball, and also college football. Somebody brought up, a listener, the Cubs-Sox series in Chicago, and I lived there 3 years working at AM 1000 doing a show, 98 to 2001. And that's great if you're there. It's kind of like Horowitz was saying, Mets-Yankees, if you're there in New York City. I don't know if the rest of the country gets as excited about Cubs-Sox or Mets-Yankees. Like, I think everybody in the country knows when they watch the Red Sox and the Yankees, you're watching tradition. It was like Showtime Lakers and Bird, Magic, Boston, right? So you let me know. Today, not all time. I'm talking today in sports. 1-855-212-4CBS. That's 1-855-212-4227. At Saturday Huge on Twitter. Saturday Night Huge Show on Facebook. Manny in Louisiana, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
How you doing? You're a gentleman. I really love your show.
Thank you, my man.
Yeah, I'd just like to say, I don't see as much life in the Giants maybe as you do. I think there have been lots. I'm a Cowboy fan, you know, from all the way back. And I think there have been a lot of them, you know, the Redskins and then the Packers and the 49ers. But I see with Dak Prescott and Carson Wentz, the Eagles-Cowboys, you know, going, having this history as well as a lot of potential moving forward.
Well, thank you, Manny, Louisiana. And what's interesting about Wentz and Prescott, that I look at both and I'm not sure if they're top-shelf guys. I'm not. That's just me. And you don't, you know, because Nick Foles, and bless his soul with what him and his wife went through. But Nick Foles, there was a debate that the Eagles should have, you know, let Wentz go, but then you got the guaranteed money, you got a front office that drafted him. I think both guys, Prescott and Wentz, talk to me. Like I said, with Matt Stafford, the fastest to 30,000 yards, talk to me when they're winning multiple playoff games and trophies and deep runs. Talk to me then. Let's go to Jeff in Dallas, listening on 105.3 FM. You're on the Saturday Night Huge Show.
How you doing today?
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, love your show. I'm also a Cowboy fan. I want to say that, too. I got two things. Also a Cowboy fan, and I don't think Eli Manning is that great. The only reason why he's going to make it to the Hall of Fame is because they won two Super Bowls under him. But that Prescott will get better because he's not hindered under Lanahan, and he's going to get a lot better. The other thing, LeBron James, I'm a Lakers fan also. LeBron James has been in the playoffs ever since he was a rookie, and he's been late into the playoffs. And this year he's going to rest, so next year you're going to see him back on the top of his game. He's going to they're going to win something. They're going to the playoffs, and they're going to beat up on Golden State next year. I guarantee you.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate your huge opinion in Dallas. Yeah, they're saying $30 million a year. Wow. That's from a Clarence Hill Jr. story on May 22nd in the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. Do you look at Dak Prescott and say $30 million a year? What you'll get are the same people 2 years ago with Matt Stafford got like $26, $27 million a year. Well, that's market value. And I'm like, okay. Because there's a level of quarterbacks who have been paid that did squat. Well, you'll say, well, look at their numbers or Pro Bowls or no. Is that quarterback going to carry your team? Same question I asked earlier about NBA players that can put a team on their back and take them to greatness. Wentz and Prescott, the jury's still out. It is. Let's go to Andrew in Massachusetts. You're on the Saturday Night Huge Show. Andrew.
Hey. I just want to say a couple things here. I want to say Bruins are winning in five. And I also wanted to touch on the rivalry thing. I feel that Bruins and Canadians is still a pretty big rivalry, and then one that has kind of rekindled in the last few years has been the Bruins and the Leafs. They've been playing in the playoffs a lot lately. I know the Leafs really can't beat the Bruins, so it's not too much of a rivalry, but there seems to be a lot of intensity in those games every single time they play.
Thank you, Andrew, in Massachusetts. And what we get are the regional rivalries. What I'm trying to get from the audience right now, what are the national rivalries in pro sports in America and Canada that everybody would watch? I get that the Leafs in Boston, the good and bad, that Toronto, Boston, they go crazy. You know, Canadians, Bruins, they go crazy. And I agree with you, this series is done. That was a mess at 7-2 on the road in St. Louis. You could see it. What they did, Columbus, I said, it's over. It's done. And the great champions do it on the road. Go ask the Patriots at Arrowhead, right? They do it on the road. It's over. Great season for St. Louis. Plan the parade. I'll organize it. I'll come up on the Sports Hub, and I'll do a special Stanley Cup celebration show. So give me the national pro sports rivalries in America at this hour and in Canada. 1-855-212-4CBS. That's 1-855-212-4227. At Saturday Huge on Twitter. I promise here in the next 90 minutes, I'll read all the tweets that I get at Saturday Huge. And Saturday Night Huge on Facebook if you want to like us.
It's the Saturday Night Huge Show. Once again, here's Huge Bill Simonson.
We are back live across North America, something we do each and every Saturday night. We're all about huge opinions, yours and mine. I was listening to Zook during the bottom of the hour update, and I looked up info on Andy Ruiz, who shocked Anthony Joshua, the pride and joy of the United Kingdom, knocking him down four times before a seventh-round TKO. Now, if you go to CBSSports.com or you Google Andy Ruiz Jr., he looks like a guy who came out of the factory like Russell Crowe in Cinderella Man. I'm telling you, he... Short notice, had only 4 weeks to prepare for Joshua. Madison Square Garden, a big launching pad. You got Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury, and you get promoters, and they're all jockeying for position. And Eddie Hearn, Matchroom Boxing's promoter for Anthony Joshua, said he gets 85% of pay-per-view. Well, it's not going to work inside the American boxing promoter ring. So now with Joshua getting beat by a guy who has come out of nowhere, and Andy Ruiz Jr., if you look at him, as Horowitz told me during the update when we were talking off air, he's chubby, he looks out of shape. And I kind of said it looked like me fighting the producers during breaks back at CBS Sports Radio in New York City. And they're comparing it to Buster Douglas beating Tyson. Now, some will say in the boxing circles that Anthony Joshua is a figment of boxing promotion and hasn't fought anybody. But you get an undefeated record up until tonight, and you can set the pay scale. So now you get Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder, who have agreed to fight in 2020, and they both have winnable fights in June and September of this year, and you're Anthony Joshua, and what do you do? who do you fight? Because now you get the promoters. They're not going to, with Fury and Wilder walking up to that big payday and Joshua now losing to Andy Ruiz Jr., the first, I think I read this right at CBSSports.com, the first Mexican fighter to ever hold a championship belt at the heavyweight level. I think I read that right. He was 12-1. So if you put $100 on Andy Ruiz to win, now they said, you know, it was sold out in the article, Horowitz. You guys are there. Was there, and again, you can get a lot of British fans who flew over. And I remember watching Lennox Lewis fight. Who was it? Was it Foreman Lennox Lewis? I was there at the fight at the Thomas and Mack Center in Vegas. Who was he fighting? Oh, Holyfield. It was, I think. And the British fans, they had to put fences up. The British fans had to sit upstairs. Now, Horowitz, you guys are in New York City. How far away are you from Madison Square Garden?
Mileage, it's probably about a mile and a half. But I'd say, what are we, 70 blocks away? Because we're downtown.
I'm guessing no, but you can tell me. Was there any buzz on Anthony Joshua and Andy Ruiz Jr. before the fight?
Not that I saw. Now, I also don't follow the sport. I couldn't care less. But, you know, normally you can kind of feel it in the city. I didn't get that sense.
I will say, in a matter of a month or so, that the heavyweight division and how it's playing out with Wilder and Fury and now the story of Andy Ruiz, when you look, I'm not laughing at a guy, you know, that photo would be like Bill Simonson working out before the Saturday Night Huge show. I've never, have you ever seen a more out of shape boxing champion, at least visually? I'm not saying he has to be in shape to go seven rounds with Joshua, but the visual, have you ever seen anybody, Horowitz, in sports, a champion in any sport outside of an offensive lineman in football that had a body like that?
The only one that comes to mind is that old boxer, what's his name, Butterbean? But I don't know if he was ever a champion. Again, I'm not a big boxing guy.
I don't think Butterbean was a champion. I think he was just a guy that really did a great job. Didn't he start out as one of the tough man contests, right? They used to have those. Where the guys would just, it was before MMA. And, you know, I guess anybody probably over 40 would remember those. They used to have the tough man contest that would go all across the country, if not around the world, and these guys would bare-knuckle fight in the ring. And it was, I watched one, and I'm like, my Lord. Yeah, so I think Butterbean began his journey in the tough man ring, went to boxing, and made some money. Yeah, the heavyweight division, the sport of boxing. Matter of fact, and you said that, Horowitz, you don't follow it. New York is the birth of boxing in America for the most part. That, you know, Wilder, Fury, we'll see with this Ruiz, and will Anthony Joshua again, you know, they were saying he was the next Lennox Lewis. Will he get that fight now? Because I doubt Wilder and Fury, you know, they'll milk this now because it's not like there's a lot of great bouts waiting in front of boxers. But that sport has been buried by MMA, flat out UFC'd. And you could juxtapose the letters. And that's what the UFC has done to boxing. So for me to even have any conversation on air, the last time I talked about boxing is what? Mayweather, McGregor, right? And was there talk that McGregor brought that up, that he, I think, wanted to fight Floyd Mayweather again? I do respect boxing because as I was making my journey in life, man, there was Hearns, there was Hagler, there was Sugar Ray, Roberto Duran, on the backside of the careers of Ali and Frazier and Foreman. And then, you know, you had the Spinks brothers. You had Marvin Hagler. Gosh, there was just, and then the introduction of Iron Mike Tyson. We would get people together down in Oklahoma when I was just beginning my journey in broadcasting. So that would be mid-90s. And we would, every pay-per-view with Tyson was must-see TV. Wow. Then the sport, you know, gave us Roy Jones Jr., but he really didn't have anybody to fight. It's just, you know, a lot of it's about timing. And then Floyd Mayweather Jr. really set up the business side of pay-per-view and understood how to stretch out his career and maximize it financially. Like him or hate him, or you're somewhere in between, he was one of the smartest businessmen when it came to boxing that the sport has ever seen. So to have a conversation, whether it's Anthony Joshua losing to Andy Ruiz Jr., or Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury, that I think a lot of people still don't know a lot about, I think it's good for the sport. Because I'll tell you this now, I'll watch the next Andy Ruiz fight. I'll watch the next Anthony Joshua fight, even with the loss. Wilder and Fury, there you go. And I can tell you that a month ago, I didn't talk or care about anything connected to the sport of boxing. It's kind of like looking at UFC right now and the star power of UFC. Now, Horowitz, do you follow MMA?
A little. I'm not a sycophant, but I'll sit down and watch some of the bigger fights.
All right, so I just brought up some names that are in the headlines with, you know, Darwin Zook, and I'm talking all across North America. Name the stars of the UFC if you're a casual MMA fan. Right now, the stars today that draw people to watch it.
Are you asking or are you?
No, I'm asking you. I don't know.
See, right now, I wouldn't. I think you raise a fair point. It's not like it used to be where the stars were so front and center. Right now, I think they're kind of going through a changing of the guard because no one's that dominant.
I know it was for the money, but the move to ESPN with UFC, I don't know if that was the right move. I think the UFC being independent, the UFC doing their own thing, and I get your partner. They didn't take it over. But I'm not feeling that was the right move for that sport. Maybe a little bit too corporate. Just my huge opinion from a distance. I don't know anybody connected to UFC. I look at branding. I look at marketing. I look at what's hot and what's not. And that's what I've done for 27 years doing a talk show. And I don't know if the partnership with ESPN was the right avenue for UFC. Would you agree or disagree, Horowitz?
I would probably disagree. The truth is, you know, they wanted to grow globally, and they weren't going to do it in the format that they were in before, where, you know, you have a couple shows that are airing on FS1. Everything else that you do ends up on pay-per-view. You're not going to grow your sport. You want to put it in front of as many eyeballs as you can, so you make a bold move like that. I think right now they're suffering more so from, like I said, they don't have anyone that's dominant. You have somebody that's dominant, that's what's going to put, you know, asses in the seats. It's, you know, your Ronda Rouseys, your Conor McGregors, your George St. Pierre's, you know, and the list can go on and on. I don't think they have that necessarily right now. And part of that might be ignorance on my part, because like I said, I'm not into it every single day. But as a casual fan, I'm the type of guy that they're trying to attract.
I had somebody tell me that a lot of those original MMA UFC fans are outgrowing the sport. So you may have been into it when you're 21, 22, 25, 27, but when you're 37 with kids, the sport may not appeal to you as much as it did. That's interesting. I'm not saying the UFC is on a decline. But that's an interesting thought that are you the 19, 20, 21-year-old buying that pay-per-view, going to your local bar, and then when it's 10, 12, 14 years later and your life has changed and it's not hanging out with the guys anymore, and trust me, and I didn't get married till I was past 40. So things are different. It's not like I'm, hey, you know what? Get off my lawn. I'm not that guy. But they're, you know, in sports cycle, they do in America. And sometimes when you try and go and grab the world, it's not the best move. It's kind of like baseball starting their season in Japan and they're struggling for TV and seats being filled in America. Never forget your roots as a business. If you do, chances are you're going to hit a wall and fall. I need to be doing seminars at Holiday Inns. I do. And Horowitz will come there and say, I disagree with you, Bill. And he kind of said it in a way of like, okay, Horowitz, I'm not working with you anymore. You disagreed with me.
I was a little timid there.
There's a little hesitation. You're going like, hey, you know what? I go, all right. Anyway, while you're saying that, you probably hear me typing on my iPhone X going, dear Mr. Chernoff, I do not want Horowitz anywhere near me anymore. Thank you. He replied already. Why, Bill? Because he disagreed with me. Thank you. I'll ask the audience as we head into our final hour. Sport of boxing. Last time you either went to a boxing event, watched it on TV, either free or pay-per-view, compared to watching UFC. I'll see where the sports audience is at in America and in Canada here in our final hour. You can join us live at 1-855-212-4CBS. That's 1-855-212-4227. At Saturday Huge on Twitter and Saturday Night Huge Show on Facebook. So you heard Horowitz and I going back and forth. You heard my huge opinion on boxing, and the last month it's caught my attention. Boxing compared to UFC, where's it at right now with you, the sporting public? I think Zach Gelb's getting ready. He's up at an hour. We have 60 minutes together, and trust me, this show is always about huge opinions, yours and mine.